It's too good to go to waste. Everybody turn with me to page 393. Let's all stand and sing Choir Stand. When we all get to heaven. On the first verse now. Good to see you back in the house of the Lord this evening. And if you're here and you're visiting with us, looks like we're all home folks. If you're not a member, we've already claimed you as one anyway. And we are so glad to have you back here tonight. We have some that are traveling. Children's Home is gone. I believe they're gone for the week. Is that correct? Gone until Tuesday. All right. So please remember them in prayer. Remember all the prayer requests that were mentioned this morning, especially Miss Ruby Harper, going through a very, very difficult time. And others that we mentioned this morning, please remember all of them. We had some unspoken prayer requests. They're very dear to us. And we pray that you would just continue to lift them up in prayer as well. But let's go to the Lord in word of prayer tonight and ask God's blessing on the service as well as the offering tonight. And I just ask the Lord to be with us. It's been a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And we look forward to the message and for the service tonight. Father, we love you. Praise you and thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, that we have to be back in your house. Thank you for good health, Lord, to be able to be back tonight. Some don't have that and would love to have the help and the strength to be back in your house. And, Lord, we pray that you would touch them. Lord, you know exactly what is needed. Lord, I pray for Miss Ruby Harper tonight. Lord, I pray that you touch her in a very special way. Lord, again, others that were mentioned this morning, Lord, we would surely forget someone. We wouldn't mean to. But, Lord, I'm glad to know that you know all. Lord, you know every situation. You know every need, every burden. And Lord, I pray that you would just be, Lord, with each one in a very special way. Now, Lord, bless the offering, both the gift and the giver. Be with our pastor. Speak through him that we need to hear tonight. We'll praise you, Lord. We'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
darkest hour, He's been faithful and true.
Look what God has brought us through. Look what God has brought us from. My goodness. God has brought you through a lot, hasn't he, Miss Marianne? And I believe everybody can testify of that tonight, that God has brought you through a lot. And look what God has done. How incredible that is. Words are still the same, Brother Allen. Words are still the same. We won't keep you long tonight, that is, unless the Lord intervenes. But good to see everyone this evening. And for those of you that didn't come tonight, they're watching on Facebook, we got about 200 here tonight. And y'all are just missing out. I'm telling you, you're missing out. Should have been here. But good to be here this evening. Appreciate the Lord. Appreciate you, church. Appreciate you. Allow me to get behind this pulpit Sunday in and Sunday out, Wednesday in and Wednesday out. Trust me when I tell you, I endeavor to give you my very best to the Lord and to you. I hope you've noticed some growth in the time since we've been here. But anyway, we're just at the Lord's mercy tonight, wanting to be used of him one more time, and I want to share some things out of Proverbs chapter number 30. Proverbs chapter number 30. And as you're turning there, as you're making your way to Proverbs, I want to say by way of introduction that people in life from time to time need a little bit of counseling. People, they seek out counseling from leaders, people in leadership. People seek out and they need advice concerning certain situations in their life, things they're feeling, things they're doing, things that's going on in their life. People seek out help and attention concerning their dilemmas. People may go to their pastor, and that's great. That's why we're here. And let me just say this, if a pastor doesn't have the answer, then the pastor goes to get the answer. And if you ever have any questions or anything for me, and if I can't give you the answer, I ought to humbly tell you that and then seek out the answer and then get back with you. And because while pastors are sought after for help and counseling, pastors don't know everything. And so, but people go to their pastors, they go to their friends or relatives for answers, for questions, for counseling, for wise counseling, for wise consideration of what they may be going through. And tonight I want you to notice we've shared these verses before. I've actually shared them at Lily's school in chapel, but I feel led tonight to use these verses concerning God's creatures, or God's critters, however you want to say it. Notice, if you would, in Proverbs 30, verse number 24, there be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands, and is in the king's, or in king's palaces. And tonight I want to talk to you about wisdom from God's creatures. Wisdom from God's creatures. A lot of times, again, we go to human beings for help, don't we? But if we focus on God's creation and God's creatures, sometimes they bring a message that we could benefit from. And so tonight I want to just look at these four different creatures and see what kind of wisdom we can gain from the message that they bring. Each creature brings a message. I want to say tonight in verse number 25 that the ant brings a message of preparation. He says in verse 25, the ants are a people not strong, Yet they prepare their meat in the summer. So we see the first messengers, and they're the ants. How many of you growing up, maybe this is just a boy thing, a guy thing, growing up, I know in my grandparents' driveway, down at the base of the driveway near the house, she had all these big old black ants that would crawl from the big trees at the house and had a much of a dirt backyard, really. And I would run and jump and just stomp on those ants, just stomp on them. Again, I guess it's just a boy thing, being a young boy, and, you know, boys do crazy things, and that's pretty bad. I was stepping on God's messengers. I go around as a little boy, and I'd step on these ants, and kind of feel bad about that now. But anyway, the ants actually carry a message. And the Bible says they carry a message of preparation. You see, ants are not a strong folk, the Bible says. They're not strong at all. They're little, they're tiny, and are a people not strong. And so what do? They have to prepare. They have to use their time wisely because they're not strong. And the Bible says that they prepare their meat in the summertime. And so they prepare for winter. And they use their time preparing for winter. Summertime's around, and sometimes you can look down or see on the Nature Channel these little bitty ants carrying big old things. One time on the Nature Channel, I seen an ant carrying a saltine cracker on its back. How about that? That saltine cracker's way bigger than that ant. Yet that ant was storing up that saltine cracker for wintertime, because not only was it going to eat it, it was going to lay on it. And so ants, they prepare for that winter day. And I was thinking, even in going over this message again and looking at some details a bit deeper, I got to thinking about how that as these ants have a season of summer, where they prepare for a season of winter. And I got to thinking about God's economy and how that possibly now, just thinking, possibly that God uses certain seasons to prepare us for another season. In Ecclesiastes, you don't have to turn there, but in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, in verse number 1, tells us that there are different seasons of life. Well, let's turn to Ecclesiastes 3. Might as well. We want to quote it properly. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 1. Just listen to this. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And so as this little bitty ants in the summer season of their life, where there's no cold, there's no elements, they use that time up to prepare for the time that's coming when there's not going to be any food. There's going to be bad elements. There's going to be much, much adversity to go and get food. And so they prepare for another season. Maybe God tonight is preparing you in a season you're in now for another season that's coming. He says again in Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And so there are purposes for the seasons that we're in. And could it be that God is preparing you now for the season you're in now, for the colder seasons that may be coming? The coldness of adversity that may be coming. The coldness of trial that may be coming. Or maybe God is teaching you in the season you're in now responsibility, because He's going to promote you later. You know, you got to be able to handle success. You got to be able to handle promotion in life when God changes seasons on you. And so tonight, possibly, the seasons that we go through, God is preparing us for the next season. And so as we look at the life of these little bitty ants, we see that they're not a strong folk. They are a tiny species, and so God is giving us a message through them of preparation. Proverbs 30 and verse 25, the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare meat in the summer. Maybe God is making us strong in the season we're in for the seasons that are coming. Just food for thought. So we see the ants here. Also, this speaks of redeeming the time and time management and being efficient for the things that we do, because we don't know what's coming down the pipe. And so, like the late Stinnett Ballou said, Ed Ballou's cousin, he said, let us do all we can while we can, so that when we can't, there will be no regrets. I love that statement. So we see the message of the ants is a message of preparations. What is God wanting you to prepare yourself for right now in this hour? What is he wanting you to prepare for? That's the ants. Now let's move on to the next one. Verse number 26, the conies. The conies. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. You can already see where this is going, I feel. They're a feeble folk. The ant was not a strong folk. And now the conies are also not a strong folk. They're a feeble folk. So the question is, number one, what in the world is a coney? And I got two answers for that. Number one, it's a hot dog. You'll get that. You'll get that in a little bit. All right. Let you know I'm thinking about supper. Number two, some say that a coney is a mixture of a mouse and a rabbit. Isn't that a wild-looking species? A mixture of a mouse and a rabbit. And they find, the Bible says, they find their, or they make their houses in the rocks. Now, for the longest time, we've been going to Panama City for vacation. This year, as we said this morning, we went to Sanford, Florida to stay with Charisse and her family, and had a great time, didn't we? Had a really good time. And but in Panama City, we would go to St. Andrews State Park. Anybody? Come on, hands. Yeah. St. Andrews. Got to get there early, or you won't be able to get in. Well, there's what they call the jetties that are out there in that state park. In the beach, crystal clear water, beautiful little neon fish swimming by. Makes me want to go right now, Brother Allen. Come on, let's go. But those jetties, they go out, and from time to time you'll see a raccoon come out from underneath those rocks. And someone said one time, well, you can feed those raccoons. You know, they're friendly raccoons. I've never met a friendly raccoon. And I think one year we actually had a picture of, I think, maybe Lily feeding one of them and put that on Facebook. And one reason why we don't post much anymore, because, man, we got so many comments. Don't you let that baby feed them raccoons. They got rabies. They got this. They'll claw her to death. Claw her eyes out. All this kind of stuff. I thought, my goodness. But there was typically one or two raccoons that coming out from underneath those rocks. And people would feed them. So what were those raccoons doing there, and what are these conies doing underneath their rocks? They use them for protection, of course. The raccoons there at St. Andrews is protecting from the elements, the wind, the rain, the cold, the heat, all of those things. And the same thing for these conies, these half and half mouse rabbits. They're taking their shelter in the rock, underneath the rock. And what kind of message do they bring us? They bring us the message of protection. Back when we went to Floyd Road, they used to sing the song, I Run to the Rock. I Run to the Rock. And tonight, that is our message. We We're not like the world. We don't operate as the world. We can't run to drugs and alcohol for relief because we know those things don't last and they always end in addiction. So what do? We run to the rock that's higher than we are. We run to the rock for protection. We run to Jesus for safety. Psalm 46 in verse number 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He is our strong tower. We, the righteous, the Bible says, runneth into it and are safe. So tonight, you have a storm in your life, run to the rock. You have some things taking place in your life. Some winds are blowing. The rain is coming down on you. The hail is coming down on you. H-A-I-L is coming down on you. Run to the rock for safety. Matthew chapter number 7, verse 24 and 25. Don't turn there. But it's the story of the parable of the two foundations. The Bible says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Verse 25 says, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Praise the Lord. The question is, where are we building our house? And like this morning, is God building our house? And is it upon His rock? Is it upon His rock? Well, if it is, our foundation is sure. We're not going nowhere. Then as we live our Christian life, He is our refuge. He's our rock. He's our tower that we run into. And we're always safe in Him. And so we have the message of the conies, and that is, it's a message of protection. Let me mention a third one. Notice in verse number 27. The Bible says the locusts have no king. Yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. I believe tonight the message of the locust is a message of power. A message of power. You say, how do you get that, Brother Justin? Well, notice that these locusts have no king. And normally when there's a king and when there's a leader, there's direction, there's unity, there's safety. But there's no king for these locusts. There's no leader for these locusts. Yet, the Bible says, go they forth, all of them, by bands. And I want to say concerning these locusts and the message they give of power is it has to do with the strength that they find in their bands. In other words, they go forth in numbers. They go forth together. Tonight, it is a true statement that there is strength in numbers. There's strength in numbers. They have no king, yet they're all going forth, all of them, by bands. They're sticking together. They're in rank. They're moving in one direction. They're moving in another direction. They're staying together. There's strength in numbers tonight. There's safety in numbers tonight. Safety. And so while these locusts have no king, they stick together, and there's safety because of that, of their sticking together. They have no king, yet they stick together. They're flying together, staying together. They have no king, yet they're still strong together. And I think it goes without saying that things are always better together. Even when there's no leader. A lot of times in churches, when there's no leader in the church, if it's not done, if things are not carried out correctly and in a godly sort, the devil can get in there and totally devour a church with no pastor. But how great is it when there's a church that goes through a time with no pastor, just using this for an example, and yet they're able to stay together because there's strength in numbers. There's unity. They're able to stay together because They have all things in common. They're able to stay together and move forward together. And it makes them strong. It makes them safe. What a blessing. You can apply that to many things in life. But there's one thing about it. Isolation never does anybody good. When you decide not to band yourself together with the church or with family or with friends, and you decide to do your own thing in life, that's never a good thing. Isolation is never a good thing. And so we find that these locusts, they stick together. They're stronger together. They're safe together. And all of us today could definitely benefit from these locusts. Let us stay out of isolation mode and stay banded together. Let me mention one more, and we'll bring it to a close tonight. We could say other things about the locust, but really time wouldn't permit. And this is probably my favorite one, the spider. Look at verse 28. He says, "The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in kings' palaces." What's the message of the spider? I believe the message of the spider, at least in my estimation, is persistence. It's persistence. You say, what do you mean, persistence? Well, notice, if you will, where the spider is. The spider is in kings' palaces. And I don't know about you or not, but I don't want, whether it's a palace or whether it's just a regular place of abode where you live, I don't want any spiders around me. Spiders are creepy and crawly. Spiders can bite. Spiders can be big. And some of the most dangerous spiders are tiny. So what do? You knock them out of your house. You kill them. They spin a web, and a web is spun. You wake up the next morning. Hopefully there's no big spun spider web in your house, unless you got tall vaulted ceilings or something. But you see a spider somewhere, what do? You grab the broom, you grab a newspaper, or if you like Christy, you grab our rubber oven mitt and go swinging. I'm telling you, sometimes I'm sitting there watching TV, and all of a sudden, and I'm like to have a heart attack. What in the world is that? Sorry, I'm trying to get, I don't think it was a spider, I think it was a fly. I'm trying to get this old fly. I said, tell me the next time you do that. Give me a heart attack. Big old rubber oven mitt. Wham! We like to kill those things. Not in our house. So we like to get rid of them. But what kind of a message is the spider bringing, verse 28? I believe it's a message of persistence. It says, the spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. The words taketh hold means to weld. Some of you men know a little bit about welding and soldering. And I won't say too much about this for the sake of time and the message, but a good while back actually, probably 15, 20 years ago, I was a plumber. And we worked on these cotton mill lofts in Canton, Georgia, not far from here. And my job, I was responsible for putting all the plumbing in all those units, me and our team. And we would have to solder that copper. And we'd get the fire striker and I can't remember what they call it, but a little spool of some kind of soldering that you lay upon the joints and the compounds, and you light it with a torch and you solder it together so that it can't separate. So the message is, this spider takes a hold and has such a grip that nothing is going to separate its grip from being in the king's palace. Oh, sure, they may try to come along and get out of here. Get out of this house. You ain't wanted here. You know, sometimes The devil likes to speak to you and likes to speak to me and say, what are you doing in God's house? You're not wanted there. All the mistakes you've made, the things you've done. Oh, what are you doing in life trying to make something of yourself? Always trying to better yourself and always trying to hang around and do what's right. Always going to God's house. The devil in our flesh is always pulling at us, trying to get us to lose our grip on the things of God and hanging around in God's palace. Sometimes we falter and sometimes we fail and sometimes we do get knocked down. But the Bible says that this spider taketh hold with her hands. She welds its hands so that nothing will separate her from the king's palace. I want to tell you tonight that failure happens in our lives. Sometimes adversity knocks us down. Sometimes trial knocks us down. Sometimes complications of health knocks us down. Sometimes we drift. Life is just a bunch of ebbing and flowing. We're up, we're down, we're in, we're out. And sometimes life gets the best of us. But I want to challenge all of us to just keep hold in God's house tonight. Keep hold to the things of God tonight. Keep hold of your prayer life. Keep hold of reading your Bible. Hebrews talks about not allowing things to slip. Don't allow your grip to slip. Continue to be steadfast in Jesus. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. We'll never be perfect. But let us allow God and His Holy Spirit to repel all of these things from the world off of us that tries to knock us out of God's house, tries to knock us out of our steadfastness. Let's just weld our hands right in God's house and be steadfast. The spider taketh hold with her hands as is in the king's palaces. Well, tonight, that's the message of the spider, is persistence. Again, you know, people spend hundreds of dollars, thousands even, seeking out counseling and help. But you know, we can find a lot of help from God's creatures, can't we? All we have to do is look around. One of the best messages I've received from God and got from one of God's creatures is the butterfly, of course. I guess it was last summer we went to Callaway Gardens, and I'm sure anybody been to Callaway Gardens in here? The butterfly exhibit. It's hot, it's humid in that place, but if you walk in the museum part, and not in the rainforest, I call it, in the museum, they show the different stages of the butterfly. And I love this because it's so true in a spiritual sense. It's the butterfly, and it starts as a larvae, just a blob, kind of. But it has some kind of life in it. And then it turns into a caterpillar. And then that caterpillar just inches its way through life. Wish it can go faster, but it can't. It just inches its way through. And then there's the cocoon stage, where it finds a spot where it thinks it's going to die, ready to give up. And it balls itself up, this caterpillar, into a ball and starts to cover itself. Kind of like we do with our blankets on Monday morning. Don't want to get up and go, you just cover yourself. And so then the real struggle begins, because it's not meant to stay in such a dark, gloomy place. There's something on the inside of that caterpillar that says fight. There's something on the inside of that caterpillar that says this is not it. There's something in the DNA of a caterpillar that says I'm going to fly. And so it starts to push and move, kind of like a baby in a womb. There's coming a delivery day. And so eventually, in the middle of that darkness, in the middle of all of that anguish and pain, comes a wing. Y'all love my sound effects tonight? Y'all ought to see me around the house sometimes. Yeah. There's a wing. And then over here, another wing. So right now it looks like two wings and a marshmallow because it's still in a it's still in a cocoon. And then eventually it pushes its way out and it flies. And it's a butterfly. It's a metamorphosis that takes place. Romans chapter number 12, verse number 2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." Same word as the stages of a caterpillar, a metamorphosis. "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Listen, all we have to do is look in God's nature and God's creatures for guidance and counsel. It's there. Father, we love you tonight. We praise you for who you are and for what you do, God. I pray that you would take your word tonight and, Lord, even our speech hesitations and things we're trying to make clear, I pray that you'd use it for your honor and for your glory. If there's someone that needs to come, let them come tonight and do business with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. We'll give a verse of invitation. And if nobody comes, we'll go to the house.
Just as I am without you,
altars are always open. I did want to mention this, and I left this to the very end just for a specific reason, but Brother Michael Bendy texted me this afternoon, this evening, and he did say that Shauna will be meeting with a surgeon sometime next week, maybe. Many of you know she's been in and out of the hospital sometimes twice a week, been going through a lot, to say the very least, and he said neurosurgeon, and I knew what that meant, but I wanted to check, confirm. I said, "Is that a brain surgeon, brain doctor?" And he said, "Yes, so they're talking about putting in a shunt in her head or in her spine." So we're not really sure right now, but that sounds pretty certain to me if they're meeting with a surgeon. And so I told Brother Michael that we'll have prayer tonight for Miss Shauna. And she's in a lot of pain, and so if it's been a while since you've reached out to her, just do that. That'd be great. I myself have been staying in touch with them, but anyway, not feeling well. So just kind of want to close with that tonight. I'll pray for us. I'll pray again, and we'll just have a time of prayer for her. And of course, I know there's others. They're on the prayer list, and again, as Brother Allen said, unspokens. So let's do that, and after the amen, you're dismissed to go. Father, tonight we come again in prayer. Lord, we mentioned so many people today and so many unspokens, Lord, requests. I know they're out there. But God, tonight we lift up to you, Miss Shauna Bendy. Lord, nobody really knows the level of pain or what she's been going through but her. It's her body, Lord. Lord, she's had a rough go for the longest time now. And Lord, we just lift her up to you in prayer tonight. We pray that when she meets with this doctor, that God, he would be for sure that this is the solution. We definitely don't want her having surgery with a misdiagnosis or a wrong diagnosis. So God, we just commit her to your care, and we pray for your healing hand, your guiding hand, to be upon her as she goes to meet with this surgeon, hopefully next week. Be with Brother Michael. Strengthen him, dear Lord, as he works during the day and takes her back and forth to the doctor. We just love them both, and we want the very best for them. And so we pray that you'd touch that family tonight and days ahead. And everyone else on our prayer list and all the unspokens. Keep us safe as we leave. Bring us back safely on Wednesday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.